Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, November 3rd, 2013. Pastor Paul Tolberg. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
In the name of our Lord and Savior, my dear friends and fellow believers, when I was growing up, I didn't really get the idea of what's the big deal about Reformation. I didn't get what was going on. I didn't understand nary a twit about what life was really like. Most of us are like that. Somewhere along the line, I started to wake up a little bit and pay attention. I kept on hearing my pastor talk about this Luther guy. Luther this and Luther that. In confirmation class, I said to my pastor, I said, you know, if we're not supposed to pray to the saints, why are we treating Luther like one of those saints? We're always... My pastor just smiled and says, we don't pray to him. Boy, a lot of honor you're giving to him. And my pastor didn't argue with me. He just said, when you get a little older, read him, read what he wrote, and then come back and talk with me. Of course, I was 7th, 8th grade. I said, okay, and it went out of my mind, all the way through high school, not in there, college. Oh, what a conversation I had with that pastor. At the seminary, I said, well, I should maybe read a little bit more about Luther. What an amazing gift God gave to his church. This man knew his scriptures, and he knew his Lord, and he couldn't wait to share that with other people. Today, we're going to be looking at another reading of God's Word. This time, Jesus is going to be explaining some things. They didn't quite understand what was going on. So, in Luke chapter 18, to some who were confident of their own righteousness, and they looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee. The other, a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you. I thank you. I am not like other men. Robbers and evildoers and adulterers are even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. And I give a tenth of all I possess. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. He beat his breast and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. May the words of my mouth, the thoughts of our hearts, be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord. And our defender. Amen. Two men went up to pray. Jesus, of course, with superior teaching, lets us know about the two ways people have of going through life. Self-righteous, looking at themselves, depending on themselves, pulling themselves up by their own bootstraps. That's the Pharisee. In case you want to know what a Pharisee is not someone that we call today a Pharisee. Oh, no. In Jesus' day, a Pharisee was Well, look around. That's what a Pharisee looked like. They were always doing the right thing. They were in church worshiping God every time, every opportunity that they could. They were taking care of the poor. They were giving generously to the church. They dressed really nice. When it came time to pray, no matter where they were, they stopped. They shut up their hands up to heaven and they prayed right out loud. It didn't matter who was watching. Didn't matter where it was going on. These guys, a Pharisee. You wanted your daughter to be dating a Pharisee. That's the successful men in life. These were the guys who made it to the ruling council of the believers in those days, the Sanhedrin. You wanted men like this in your family. You wanted to have them as a friend. Yes, they knew their Bibles. Oh, they were always in Bible class. Oh, you knew these guys. Well, Jesus tells us who sees into the heart. These guys as a group depended on all those good things to make themselves good in God's eyes. And God says, doesn't work that way. They skipped over those parts of God's word that clearly identify who you and I are by our sinful nature. All of us, our imaginations, our thoughts are only evil all the time, from childhood through adulthood until the day we die. How many times this last week have you heard the news and start to worry? How many times this last week, this last month, have you gotten angry? The Lord says all of those things are sins. Sins against the first commandment, sins against the fifth commandment. And what are we doing? We know better and we're still sinning. Why? Because we have a sinful nature that just does not want us to be in heaven, that loves to rebel against the living God. But the Pharisees, they thought, well, I'll just do enough good stuff and that will take care of my bad stuff that I'm doing. I'll be a really good guy. I'll take care of a lot of poor people. I'll do all sorts of memory work extra. I'll do all sorts of things extra. I'll be extra generous with the stuff that I have because I've gotten it all. And actually, God, you know, when I'm thinking about it, it's a good thing that I'm your friend. How could the church get along without me? I'm really glad I'm not like those other people who are outside of church, they don't even stop to give you the time of day. They're those Easter Christmas Christians. Oh yeah, I'm glad I'm not like one of those, Lord. Yeah, no, I'm here all the time. You see how easy it is for that little self-righteous little guy to come up? We have that little God inside of us screaming, trying to take over. And God says, if you try to stand on your own two feet with all of your life as, here I am, Lord, look at me. If you're going to try and stand before the holy God who has no sin, you're not going to stand. You're going to leave his presence with even more sin on you because you're not going to be forgiven. You want to have it your own way, God says, and have it your own way. I don't want that for you. I want you to live forever, but can't try to get into my heaven with your load of sin. What about the other guy? The other guy is tax collector. You do not want your daughter hanging around these guys. They are not the nice guys. They're the bad guys. If you're one of our members or if you're watching online and you've ever fought for your country, these are the guys you grew up despising. They were considered traitors to the country. They were serving Rome, which had conquered Jerusalem. Not only that, but they worked for the Roman government, stealing from their own people. They were tax collectors. It's not like the IRS where there's a percentage that goes and across the board and all right, yeah, and everyone says, oh, I don't like to pay. No, these guys were told the Roman government wants X amount of money. as long as we get X amount of money, that's fine. You can take your pay from anything above that amount. Well, if the Roman government is backing me up on my collecting, and I don't like you or your business, I can just tax you away. It's a wicked, wicked group of people called the tax collectors. You do not want to hang around. You do not want them coming near your house at all. No. And you definitely want to stay way away from them. They're very good at bullying. They had the power of the wicked, pagan, idol-worshipping Romans backing them up. But here Jesus says, one of these guys came to his senses and was a believer, and he walked into God's house, and he was overcome with shame and guilt. And he knew he should not even be there. So instead of praying like this, he couldn't even look his eyes up into heaven. He said, have mercy. I know what I deserve. I know I deserve pain and punishment now. I know I've rebelled against you. I know I don't deserve even a hearing. So I'm not asking with anything I have. Lord in heaven, look on yourself. And based on yourself, have mercy. And come those sweet words that this man went home justified before God. Justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Justified before God, the Holy One. God in heaven said, I declare you to be innocent, because if I am covering you, you're covered. We still sin greatly. We hardly even take a second to say, thank you, Lord, for allowing that teaching to be preserved, for raising up one guy at just the right time in history to make sure that you and I today can hear this good news again. We just got through confessing our sins, and I told you once again, in God's place, your sins have been forgiven. Your debt has been removed and canceled completely. At that time, angels that you can't even see that are packed into this room, they rejoiced because God's people had repented of their sin. We serve a great God. Let us continue to serve a great God. In the story that Jesus tells, he wants you to know about this part. You're justified on what God does for you, where he shows you mercy. What happened afterwards? Afterwards, this man lived out the rest of his story, letting you and me know and everybody else around him that he was justified. So you've now heard, once again, that you're justified. You've heard that Jesus lived and died with your load of sins on him, and he came back to life, and he assured you on Easter morning, your sins have been forgiven. So how are you going to live as the holy children of the living God who has promised to be with you every step of the way until you walk into paradise? How are you going to live? You're writing it out right now. You're going to write it out as you stay around and you talk with people. You're going to write it out as you get in your cars and go on the road again. You're going to write it out every day of the week. You're going to be writing out the ending of this parable by how you live. Justified. God has cleansed me. For his sake, my dear friends, hang on to that wonderful truth of the scriptures. That God, for Jesus' sake, has forgiven you. That he demonstrated his love for you when he sacrificed his only son on the cross. that your sins have been forgiven. And this wondrous truth of the scriptures, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So let us live. Amen.